What if you don't want to play in a fantasy role-playing game? What are the options for getting a science fiction game up to the table? Is anything different? Welcome back, Rescuers. I'm your host, Che Webster, and this is Roleplay Rescue. Ever since I first started the podcast, I've been focused on getting folk back to the gaming table. Because fantasy role-playing games are the most popular genre of gaming, by a very large margin, I've tended to assume that you'll probably want to dive into a classical fantasy adventure game. Of course, even from the earliest days of role-playing, people began to bring the idea of role-playing to other genres of gaming. In this episode, I want to delve into the second major genre, the science fiction game, and take a quick peek at the options available to the gamer who wants to boldly go where no one has gone before. This is Series 2, Episode 9. As a gamer who started with RuneQuest and Traveller, science fiction gaming has been with me since the beginning. Back when I was at school, the group played Traveller and Star Frontiers more than any other single game through most of the early years. It wasn't until some new friends brought along Rollmaster and a few other games that the focus drifted away from science fiction and more firmly only towards the fantasy genre. I guess what I'm trying to say is that it came from a pretty dedicated science fiction gaming pedigree. The true love of my gaming, the game with which I've had the longest and most turbulent emotional relationship, has been the Traveller science fiction adventure game. Classic Traveller, as it is termed today, came in the black box set with three little black books: Characters and Combat, Starships, and Worlds and Adventure. From the very beginning, it was a love affair with not only the game itself, but also the aesthetic. To this day, it's the Traveller look that draws me in quickly every time I see the product. Through the early years of gaming, we played Star Frontiers too. I loved that game for three things that I remember strongly. Firstly, the look of the box game, the colourful pulp-inspired imagery of that Crash Starship. Secondly, I loved the first scenario I ever played, Crash on Volturnus, and the survival mission that arose from it. Finally, I love the alien species in the game, the Azarian with its monkey-like face and gliding wings, the Vrusk, an insectoid creature with multiple legs and nasty mandibles, and my favourite, the Drellocyte, a blob-like rubbery alien which could change shape and which reproduced through a process of budding. I played a few Drellocytes, as I recall. All of those elements are things which I would choose to bring to my science fiction gaming today. Alternity was, as I have explained before, the most influential rule system for my science fiction role-playing. We had some of the best gaming experiences, at least two solid campaigns, using the Alternity material from 1998 through to the turn of the century. Both the Star Drive setting and the deeply conspiratorial alien horror Dark Matter had a huge effect on how I wanted to play. From the space opera Star Drive universe, I found an alternative expression of the Traveller and Star Frontiers ideas, updated to the tastes of the day. From Dark Matter, I learned that my truest, deepest role-playing fantasy is to run a conspiracy horror game that includes all the aspects of the paranormal. Ghosts, demons, aliens, cryptids, whatever. It's all in Dark Matter. So where am I today? Given my focus on the fantasy genre over the past two or three years, in honesty, my own science fiction gaming has languished. That being said, over the past couple of weeks, I've been revisiting both the Traveller RPG and the Alternity RPG within the context of my own solo gaming explorations. What I have discovered is that the space between running a fantasy game and a science fiction game is much smaller than some gamers might suggest. What I want to talk about today is how to take the first steps towards running an open table game using the science fiction genre. At this point, I want to cast back to some of the earliest thoughts that I shared in Series 1. Let's turn again to the wisdom of the Alexandrian, Justin Alexander, and his excellent series on game structures. Justin outlines a series of basic structures around which role-playing games can be constructed. Quote, "One of the most overlooked aspects in the design and play of traditional role-playing games is the underlying game structure. Or, to put it another way, there are two questions which every game designer and GM must ask themselves. One, what do the characters do? Two, how do the players do it? These questions might seem deceptively simple, but the answers are complex, and getting the right answers is absolutely critical to having a successful gaming session." End quote. If you recall, the big three game structures are dungeon crawls, hex crawls, and mysteries. To my mind, changing genres does not involve changing game structures. What we really do is reskin them. We change the external look and feel, but leave the core structure intact. While we might not call them dungeons in a science fiction game, we will send the adventurers delving into alien bases, dangerous caves, and ancient structures. Some of my most memorable games involve locations such as corporation headquarters, with a corporation RPG if I recall, exploring Egyptian-style pyramids on an alien world with D20 Stargate, and breaking prisoners out of a busy spaceport with Star Wars. In short, these location-based scenarios and adventures all deployed the dungeon crawl game structure. Players pick a direction and go. Their goals might not involve hunting for treasure in the form of gold or magic items, but they always seem to have had a target object to find, or at least something to destroy. When my crew crashed on Volturnus, that first ever Star Frontiers game I mentioned earlier, we were thrown into a hex crawl. The referee had a map of the planetary surface, divided into hexes, and we explored the territory. There were some set encounters, particular locations with specific pre-generated events or creatures to deal with, and there were some random encounters too. This is clearly the classical hex crawl structure reskinned onto the science fiction genre. It was the same in Traveller 2, once we ventured out of a starport onto a world. The referee was encouraged to create a hex-based map of the world, often at quite a large-scale hex size, and we were then able to go and explore it. But hex crawls didn't stop there. Traveller gave us the 10 hex by 8 hex subsector map too. This is an area of space into which the referee rolls up star systems and, using the subsystems of the Traveller game rules, generates the main details of each star system ready for play. One single subsector was more than enough to get started. Over time, the referee would add to those star maps, expanding the boundaries of the subsector to connect into neighbouring subsectors. 16 subsectors in all would constitute a sector of space. That, friends, was more than enough space for an awful lot of gaming. And although I haven't yet found the courage to delve into adding mysteries to the discussion in great detail, it's pretty easy to see how straightforward adding elements of mystery can be when you are running a science fiction game. Adding clues and key locations or people or things to go and investigate, well, that's just the basis of a good mystery adventure. Mysteries layer nicely onto the campaign structure with only a little bit of additional effort and skill. But I'll get into mysteries properly in a future episode. Coming back to the point, I believe that the secret to running a cool science fiction campaign is to recognise it for what it is. A fantasy campaign with different genre assumptions and a whole load of reskinning going on. As the Alexandrian has suggested in his advanced discussions on game structures, the science fiction game is incomplete and might need some additional layers of structure, but honestly, I think that the three big elements, location crawls, hex crawls, and mysteries, can keep a group occupied with great ease. That said, I would totally recommend reading the Alexandrian's proposed structure around in-flight starship play for some cool ideas on making those trips between worlds even more exciting. One of the best science fiction gaming resources is undoubtedly that of Kevin Crawford's Stars Without Number, particularly the second edition of the core rulebook. This game is, I believe, available as a free download, the paid-for version has full art and a load of additional material. But inside Stars Without Number, you'll find a great approach to setting up a science fiction hex crawl type game at the interstellar scale. Crawford lays out a process for creating first a sector of space, by which he really means the subsector map from Traveller, the 8x10 hex area, and gives you a means to generate some stars. What I like in Crawford's approach, however, is that he goes further by getting the referee to generate some world tags for each primary star system in the subsector. These are simple concepts upon which to hang your creative ideas, tags like Bubble Cities or Badlands World, for example. Each tag then gives you access to entries for enemies, friends, complications, things, and places that fit the tag's flavour. From there, Crawford gets you to generate each world's atmosphere and temperature, biosphere and population, and finish off by determining a tech level. This, as it turns out, is plenty to get a referee started in bringing a group of players to the table for a science fiction game. Given that the book within which this guide to creating a strong hex map resides is free, I'd strongly recommend it to any aspiring referee, even if you don't intend to use Crawford's own pretty robust SF game rules alongside it. Personally, I'd take the mashup approach. I'd steal Crawford's system generation and mash it up with the one from Classic Traveller, or even from Mongoose Traveller or Traveller 5. The most robust set of referee generation tools are undoubtedly within the messy pages of Traveller 5, but Crawford's stuff is great and certainly enough for most folk, but it's also free. Once I had a subsector of space, I'd deploy the Way of the Lazy Dungeon Master and get going. Crawford's Stars Without Number can provide a nice mechanical approach to Sly Flourish's idea of fronts, itself cribbed from Dungeon Worlds. What I mean is, Crawford encourages us to set up some factions within the setting and get them interacting with each other and with the players. As you begin to create some fantastic locations, deploy the skills you'd use to make a decent dungeon crawl and redirect that approach to a science fiction flavour. In short, reskin the stuff you need. A castle in the wilderness might well be a castle even in the far future, but it could just as easily be a secret base or an isolated laboratory. Your chosen game system is going to layer in the combat structures you'll need to run exciting combat scenes, so the only remaining question will be whether you choose to add hex crawls between the location crawls and the stellar hex crawl. And a big part of that question is related to the issue of whether you aim to run some mysteries in the campaign too. Going down the mystery route might mean that you can point players to specific locations and not have to worry about the journey between the starport and each adventure site. If, however, you're like me and not quite ready to go full mystery, then adding in the mid-layer of world crawl maps will really help to bring your game alive. I've developed some new language there. Location crawls, world crawls, and stellar crawls. Three levels of game structure that I really believe can work to create a smoothly running campaign in the science fiction genre. Game on! With all this talk of science fiction gaming, I found a little clip that was originally meant for the GM's Journal, but which, you know what, I'm going to share here. So, without any further ado, here's me talking about the Traveller starter set. All right, so all the fuss this week. I bought myself a lot of Traveller stuff, and the only one I haven't really looked at is the starter set. I'd already taken the shrink wrap off the box, and it's been sort of sitting around for a few days, so I thought I'd open it up. Here it is. Okay, so inside, first thing you notice really is a pair of dice in a baggie, which is kind of cool. It's like a pair of D6, which I guess you need. And then there's that little pull thing I mentioned in the Great Rift book box set, but there's a little kind of ribbon to pull everything out of the box to avoid there being too much of a wiggle room, I suppose. So top of the box, I've got character sheet for Randall Fell, who's an ex-Navy lieutenant. I've got a second character sheet for Talix Fyodor. A third one for Miranda Lassans. Fourth one for Aaron Veit. And then another one for Jamie Kelder. And a final one for Danville Kamen. So six pre-gens on sort of fairly good stock card. It has slightly warped in the box, but they're okay. Got character sheet, standard character sheet one side, and then a picture and some notes on the other side. The notes are kind of like basic stuff, and then sort of a notable ability, a bit of background, and a summary on skills. Is that kind of cool? Got a map, big full-colour poster map of some kind. Let's have a look, let's open it up. Okay, so this is Caladan Sector, which basically has, it's interesting, it has one subsector filled in, so one 8 by 12 hex map, and then all the other 16 subsectors of the sector are completely empty. And I guess the plan is that you're kind of encouraged to build your own, I guess. And then on the other side, what have we got on the other side? I'll turn this thing out. It's gigantic. It's like a, I don't know, A1 or something. Huge, but maybe even A0. Not sure. The other side is a completely blank sector map. 16 subsectors, completely blank. That's kind of cool, actually. I guess you could kind of build your own setting, your own universe. If I've got one beef, it's that it's not entirely been folded square, so there is actually a slight overlap of the pages when I refold it, but I guess that's being a bit picky. Cool, alright. Book 1, Characters and Combat. Okay, so these are softback books, full size, full rule book size. Same size really, I think, as the hardback in full colour. And this looks like basically it's all of the main rule book. It looks like pretty much the same text and detail as the Traveller second edition rule book, but it contains the intro, character creation, skills and tasks, combat equipment and vehicles. So it's kind of that section. I guess my only, if I'm honest, I think my only disappointment with this is that it's actually full size books. I guess I miss the little black books, I kind of miss that scale. I think if they'd been A5 or something, or Digest even, I'd have more affection. That being said, don't get me wrong, it's kind of nice having them in three tones. The big hardback can be a bit intimidating, hard to hold. The only thing is they're a bit dusty. Like in the box, the covers are black, and they're a little bit scratched and a little bit dusty from the printer. But hey, me and Tim Shorts, eh? Bit picky, aren't we? Okay, book 2, Spacecraft and Worlds. Looks like the remaining part of the core rulebook. So it looks like it basically split the core rulebook into two. Spacecraft and Worlds has encounters and dangers, spacecraft operations, space combat, common spacecraft, psionics, trade, and then world and universe creation section. So that's pretty cool. As with all the Traveller products, I quite like the new starship plans, really. They're kind of done in isometric, I suppose, design, which is quite nice. Completely impossible to do for yourself, but they look very nice in print. Cool. Okay, book 2. And then book 3, The Fall of Tinnath. So this is the bit that's completely new, and I guess the primary reason why. Like, I'm rubbing the back of this book, it's so rubbed. And it's kind of like, What's the word? Sort of worn in the printer or whatever. Front looks all right. Okay, so what's in here? The Fall of Tinith. Introduction. Okay, how to get started. Okay, cool. So some basic information as a referee, really. It looks like kind of how a basic introduction of things you need to do to get started. Next section is the Athwa sector, which I saw on the map.
Sorry, I'm not sure about that.
Thanks, Alexa. So yeah, the Athwa sector, which I saw on the map. And then world profile on Tinith, which is obviously at the heart of that subsector. And then a campaign. So there's some referees information, and there's a new kind of alien, and then some new equipment and vehicles that kind of looks like something new, just kind of pulling together key gear that the players are going to need and use, I guess. There's a chapter called the SRA, which is the opposition, and some incredibly weird artwork of these creatures. They're quite strange. Remind me a bit of kind of computer game aliens, I guess. Trying to think. Bit like, oh crikey, what's the game? The Master, what's his face? Oh my goodness, I'm brain dead. Some of the aliens look a little bit like, yeah. Brain's gone. Weapons, tools, and vehicles. And then full stats for the creatures. And then adventure. Okay, so a hard landing, which is very much a short adventure. It says, a short adventure intended to serve as an introduction. By the time the referee and travellers have completed this, they'll be familiar with the core game mechanics. Okay, so it looks like it sort of tells you there's a scene and it tells you exactly what should be happening and what to roll and stuff. I guess for a first-time gamer, that's kind of cool. And then four linked adventures. The Fall of Tinith is a mini-campaign. Four linked adventures. So, yeah, looks good. Some nice maps and stuff. Kind of cool. Don't want to spoil any more than that, really. Yeah, looks nice. Looks like you've got it off and running, really. And I guess from there, it wants you to. There's a section at the back of the After the Fall of Tinith. And I guess it kind of points you on. The back here, it says, including the Traveller Start Set, is a huge double-sided sector map for you to fill in and explore. Yeah, I guessed it. Cool. So you can kind of go and explore and find out. That's kind of neat, actually. I like that. That could be cool for club. I think school kids would get off on that, you know, like setting up a game and going. So, what's in the box? I've got three books. Book 3, The Fall of Tinith. Book 2, Spacecraft and Worlds. Book 1, Characters and Combat. I've got a double-sided map which I can populate myself and build my own subsectors and sectors. And then I've got 6 pre-generated characters to get going with and a pair of dice. Yeah, let's be honest, I've pretty much got everything I need to play, haven't I? Mongoose Traveller, start set. You know what? Probably a little bit better than I thought. It's cool. Did you know that Roleplay Rescue is supported by a small but dedicated community of roleplayers? People just like you, who fund the podcast production through the Roleplay Rescue Patreon page. If you've been enjoying listening to the podcast, why not come and join the community of gamers by becoming a Roleplay Rescue member? It's a pay-what-you-want support program that is working towards building a community of discovery in which every member can feel accepted as a gamer. We're all learning together, sharing ideas and playing games, so that we can share our experiences with others and ultimately bring more folk back to the hobby we love. To join, go to patreon.com/RPG Rescue. That's Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/RPG Rescue. Come and chip in. Become part of the Roleplay Rescue community. For me, science fiction role-playing adventure is a wonderful alternative to the traditional fantasy game. Through the years, many science fiction rule systems have been produced, but the fundamental game structures for an SF game go right back to the hobby's foundations. We've looked at how you can use the location crawl, the world crawl, and the stellar crawl to generate a thriving SF setting worthy of your players' enjoyment. Do you want me to delve deeper? I'm working on my own traveller science fiction adventure stuff right now, and if you like, I can find some time to share more of the details about how I am shaping things for my own gaming pleasure. That said, if you've begun to master the basic game structures of the fantasy genre, I hope you can see how relatively easily it might be to extend them out into the realms of science fiction. What are you going to do next? Do you fancy a game in space? Go on. Allow your mind to imagine the expanse of space and get excited about a stellar campaign.
Hey Shay, this is Larry with Follow Me and Die. Just listened to your episode on virtual tabletops, and just an FYI, I do have a YouTube video on my Follow Me and Die YouTube channel, Roll 20 for the Absolute Beginner. It's a series. It focuses right now on just the free features and not the pay what you want features. When I exhaust the free features, then I'll dig into the pay features. And I've got, I think it's like 1600 hours on Roll 20, but I was on a 4-year long campaign with 4 hours a session once a week, so that didn't take long to get that high a number. Enjoyed your thoughts on Fantasy Grounds and some of the other options out there. Keep up the good work.
Hey Larry, thanks for calling in. Great to hear from you. And no, I did not know that you did Roll 20 for the Absolute Beginner on YouTube. So that was great to discover. Thank you. Guys, I will stick a link to that in the show notes. But to be honest with you, you can just go online and Google Roll 20 for the Absolute Beginner and you're going to get Larry's episode number one. Looks good as well. So I had a quick squint at it. So Larry, thanks for calling in. Thanks for letting us know. And I hope that anyone listening to this, if you're interested in Roll 20, you know, dive on in there and get Larry's help. He's fantastic. And by the way, while you're at it, you know, pop over to followmeanddie.com and, you know, check out Larry's website because he's a cool dude and he does a lot of stuff.
Hi, Arthur here. Just wanted to call in and say I'm glad you enjoyed your convention. Wanted to also mention that I am a team leader for the volunteers at the UK Games Expo. For anyone that's living in the UK that's never been to the UK Games Expo, there's a massive role-playing sort of following and lots of games throughout Friday, Saturday and Sunday. So if yourself haven't been or any of your listeners haven't been, I would certainly look it up. They've got their lists of role-playing games already up there on the website to sign up to, and I think they add more as the time approaches. So go on, check it out, and yeah, I think you'll really enjoy the time there. It's mainly a board game convention, but lots of role-playing as well. Anyway, keep up the good work. Speak to you soon. Bye.
Hey Arthur, thanks for the call in. Really good to hear from you as well. And thanks for the tip about UK Games Expo. It's a show I've heard about a lot over the last few years, actually, but I have never been to. You know, anyone who's listening to my Glorantha Games 2019 episode, which was earlier in the week, you will know that that was the first convention I went to in about 15 years. UK Games Expo is 31st of May till June the 2nd, 2019. You can go to the website ukgamesexpo.co.uk and check it out. I'll stick a link in the show notes, guys. Tickets are available or will be coming up and available on the website. And looks like it's sort of 9:30 to 6-ish every day, apart from the Sunday when it closes at 4. Looks good. Lots of good stuff. Cheers, Arfed. And you know, thanks for the support as well, man. I really appreciate you becoming a patron and supporting what we're doing on here. Really, really good of you.
Hey, Jay, Tim from Gothridge Manor. Just got done listening to your one episode about, I think it was number six, GM Journal number six. A lot of chapters. There's so many things I can kind of comment on. It's like each one I had a little thing I wanted to say, but I did enjoy your unboxing, and I'm sorry that your book was dinged. Yeah, it's very irritating. I think I always say that it's the privilege of the buyer to ding up the book, not the seller. So sorry I had to do that. But sounds like you're getting some good gaming on, and it sounds like you had a lot of fun doing some different things to bring to the table. And God, I love to hear about the kids' characters. That was so fun. Link number 8. That's fantastic. 32 experience points. Great stuff. Keep enjoying the gaming, Jay. We'll talk to you soon.
Mr. Tim Shorts, thanks for calling in. It's really good to hear from you. I haven't heard from you in a while. You know what? I played a little bit of your message back to the gamer, the player, who plays Link number 8. She found that hilarious and I could laugh at that. So thanks for like the comment and everything else. She has managed to survive with that character another week when actually 4 characters were annihilated. You will have to wait and hear about that when you get the next GM Journal. It was an interesting session. Anyway, I digress. Thank you for calling in. Thanks for your comments. I'm glad you're enjoying GM's Journal. And in fact, I'm glad that it seems like a lot of the podcasters and experienced gamers are enjoying the journal. You know, we have Frank Turfler to thank for that, don't we? Because he's the one who suggested the idea. And it seems to have been quite successful this season. What to say, Tim? Thank you for all the work you're doing as well. I've really appreciated the stuff you're putting out on Patreon, the characters, the NPCs you put out, and also the dungeons that you've been and the locations and stuff you put out. I really appreciate all that stuff. And guys, if you haven't checked out Gothridge Manor, please do. You know, go and check out the website, gothridgemanor.com, and you know, maybe have a look at the Patreon as well, see if there's anything there of use to you, because Tim does some good stuff and he's a really good guy. So there we go. Right, okay, I'm going to stop wibbling on and say thanks to you, Tim, once again for calling in, and catch you on the flip side. Before we finish, I want to give a few shout-outs to the patrons who support Roleplay Rescue as members. Since last week, a big welcome to Glenn Robinson and Darren Green and Pete Fenner. Great to have your support, chaps. Thank you. Pete, you're joining, literally, as I've been sitting here editing this episode, I've noticed that you've joined. That puts us over the top to hitting the first big target to 10 patrons. That means I can stop worrying about the blog, ubiquitousrat.net, and I'm going to commit myself to at least one new article on there every month. So thanks, guys, for giving me the impetus to start writing blog posts again. Thanks also to Frank and Ray, who've upped their level of support. I presume that's to get early access to the regular Saturday episodes. You'll no doubt be listening to this before anyone else, so cheers, chaps. Here then, without any further ado, is the Order of Battle. The Mighty Swordbearer, Mark Graham. The Brave Shieldbearers, Pete Fenner, Ray Otis and Frank Turfler. And the Intrepid Torchbearers, Darren Green, a.k.a. Arfed, Glenn Robertson, Edwin King, Christian Richards, Peter Skeynes, and Vance A. Thank you, all of you. Thank you. Game on. I hope you are enjoying Roleplay Rescue. If you ever want to get in touch, ask questions, or share your point of view, you can leave me a voice message. You can also drop comments onto the Roleplay Rescue page on Facebook and the even more popular page on MeWe. Just search for Roleplay Rescue on those social media platforms and you can follow the pages with an easy click. You can even email me via hello@rpgrescue.com. I'm Che Webster. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next weekend with another episode of Roleplay Rescue. Game on!